Backseat Box Office, episode number 38 for the weekend of June 10th through the 12th, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
Boy, Jonathan, you sound less finger fat.
Well, I don't know if anybody knows, but the reason I'm a host on here is because I can't type, so I have to actually voice my opinions.
No, really.
He's going to kill me when he hears
this. Bachelor number three, who are you really?
My name is Tim.
And Tim, how long have you been participating in Backseat Box Office? A couple of months now, isn't it?
Yeah, two and a half months.
And Tim, are you or are you not a member and host of one of the best comic book podcasts on the internet today?
I am, in fact, a host of Funny Books with Aaron Pauly, Tim Wayne, Andrew, used to be Jonathan.
Just call me the Caboose.
Yeah, you are the Caboose.
So I guess
the drag shoot.
That's right, the drag shoot.
I guess their naming structure kind of goes along, kind of how I do it in the ID3 tags of all of our shows, where like it's the order in which you join the podcast. So you're last on the list, Andrew. Is that
it's all about seniority.
Fantastic. So you need to kill off one of the guys higher than you and bring in somebody new, so you're not last on the list.
I'm a patient man. I can wait.
You're just gonna wait for them to die off naturally.
I mean, that's how I got on the podcast. I was very patient.
Well, Paul lives a hard life. It ain't gonna be long.
You know, I'm a little worried. Him and Christine are getting into a fatal attraction type relationship.
Yeah, it's all gonna be about crack and 2 a.m. soon.
So we had a big weekend here at Backseat Box Office.
We did.
Holy cow.
That is true.
I've never, you know, it exceeded my wildest expectation. I never expected we would hit the golden quintecfecta tonight, this weekend.
I was just hoping for the golden trifecta.
Which we also did.
Yeah, we did hit that. The hosts all successfully predicted the top five movies this past weekend, in order.
75 points out of 75 points. Jonathan, Tony, myself, Tim, how'd you do this past weekend?
I got a 22 this weekend because I doubted X-Men First Class.
Which is odd since you're coming off a comic book podcast that you would doubt X-Men.
Well, it goes back to nerds are their own biggest critics, I guess.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Nerds love to hate.
Yeah, and I'm not a sheep like some people on that listen. Bah.
Hey, you and Mentally. She always bucks the curve.
Mentally is not a sheep.
No.
No.
Fair and accurate statement.
Trendsetter.
And actually, you know, I had just listened since we last recorded, I listened to the results show from 36. So I just wanted to weigh in since you brought it up real quick.
Where I should have just said it was the Father Beast and Mentally show.
Well, no, I love that part.
That was awesome. I love every time that they submit.
Yeah, the FBMBO is my favorite part of the results show. Yeah. You know, the Father Beast and Mentally box office show. But no, I was going to go ahead and just jump in and say, Mentally, you're right. The Hangover 2 is not a chick flick.
That's
fair. There you go. Well, I can't wait for you, Tony, on the episode to kind of weigh in, but nope.
It's so long. I just sit back and enjoy. At that point, why comment? Why disturb the perfection that is their voicemails that they send in?
It is.
I'll talk over everybody else's. I probably have talked over Tim's many times.
Well, yeah, but I totally expect that because I'm making smart alky comments the whole time.
That's so true.
It's good.
Yeah, the chemistry between them is, especially like a father daughter duo, is
I'm
is
still trying.
Surprising.
I'm still trying. We're working on it. If all goes well, they could have a book review podcast soon. So I'm kind of calling them out now, based on some emails that we have exchanged.
Well, I would, you know, I don't want to put any pressure on, but
I will, because their recordings are awesome, and I want more. So I'm totally putting pressure on them.
They could win a parsec before they know it.
I'll give them mine, but I won't win because I'll do something to torpedo it again.
So, I mean, the results show part of the show, obviously, pretty light. Not a lot to talk about. Just for the official record, rundown real quick. X-Men debuted at number one with 55 million. Hangover Part 2 dropped to number two with 31.3 million. Kung Fu Panda dropped a spot to number three with 23.8. Pirates of the Caribbean, number four, with 17.9. And Bridesmaids at number five with 12 million even. So, yeah. Just pretty much X-Men took the first spot. Everything else moved down one.
Two things I think worth mentioning in that list. One, I thought that X-Men would break 60 million.
I thought they would have to get the number one.
I was seriously mistaken. I also, I believe, predicted that Hangover would definitely not make back half and would more than likely hit 60%, would only get 60% of what they got the first week. They only got 63 lost 63.5% of box office from week one to week two.
Yeah, I mean, I had that completely wrong last week because I was predicting like a third.
That is rough, especially if you consider that was a 5-day weekend, and they actually made even more money than that. Like on Thursday and then on Monday, so it took a steep drop.
But here's the thing. Yeah, they took a steep drop, but their total domestic gross in two weekends is $185.8 million. It was an $80 million movie.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
No doubt.
They're doing okay.
They're fine.
They're not hurting.
What else did I hear? That Pirates is now the second fastest movie to make $800 million worldwide, only behind Avatar, the last pirate movie.
I believe it.
So apparently it's making crazy money overseas.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's not doing – I mean, it's doing okay in the U.S.
I mean, it's made 190 domestically, which would mean it's made about 610 million worldwide.
Which is crazy. I mean, that is a lot in the foreign markets.
Johnny Depp's pretty big overseas from what I understand, though.
The pirate movies are in general, too.
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I watched the first one. I've never seen the rest.
You aren't missing much out of two and three.
I love the first one, though.
The first one's great. I fully enjoy the first one.
Two had its moments, but...
Yeah, it's just... It just wasn't the same. It focused too much on Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley. I mean, and really, that's not the reason most people are there.
That's true.
They wanted more of... Jack Sparrow. All right. What do we got for movies coming out this week?
Well, real quick, just, I mean, I think everybody who listens to this podcast know, but we had 20 people, including the host, submit picks this past weekend.
Yeah, which if you only listen to the results show, you may have thought it odd that there was one last voicemail tacked on at the end. That's because there was a glitch in the system, and I did not get that voicemail until after the fact. So I had stated there were 19 people that participated, that there were 14 perfect scores. Tad from Mesa did submit picks. They were 25s, and he did have a voicemail that I had already finished recording and editing and actually had the file on the server when I got a hold of the voicemail. So I went ahead and slapped that in on the end and just updated the show notes. So when you say 20, and if people have only heard the voicemail show and didn't actually go back to the site or read the show notes, they may not understand that we did actually have 20.
Sure, Tad at a 25. Yeah, did you get my, you know, tweet later on Sunday where I changed my picks to a 25?
Saturday's the cutoff, Chief.
Oh,
noon, Saturday.
I got a $5 bill that says it's right now.
If it's a 50, we'll talk.
Add a zero. Add a zero.
That's some shady moves right there.
Well, you know, he's got to supplement his massive podcasting paycheck somehow.
Well, then, you know, Tony's like, email them, fax them, carrier pigeon. So I.
You know what? I can't help that the carrier pigeon was slow. Come on.
The carrier pigeon had a heart attack on its way there and dropped to the ground dead.
It was the solar flare that threw off the carrier pigeon.
You know what? I bet the carrier pigeon got raptured.
That is likely. The third eagle of the apocalypse.
No.
Took out.
No, the we're not going. No, we're not going down that path again. No.
The eagle attacked the carrier pigeon. That's what happened.
That was a beak attack, Andrew.
The thing was, though, is that the carrier pigeon dropped it, and then the eighth cheetah of the Ragnarok picked it up and delivered it.
And, of course, that's why the eighth cheetah isn't here, because he's out running errands for picks.
Yes.
Drinking tiger's blood. Yes.
Mm. Anyway, so let's look towards the future, because this coming week, also a very big week for me personally.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
There is a mano-a-mano showdown coming, and I think we all know what it is.
Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer versus Andrew.
That's right. That is right.
And maybe also versus Midnight in Paris.
Is that a relativity thing?
No.
No, it's Sony. Yeah. All right.
I don't think it is. I'm going to say no, but I'm probably wrong because they have their hands at everything.
I only count it as a relativity film if they're listed as the distributor. So. Okay.
Because apparently they do finance a number of films.
Yeah, when we started looking, we uncovered, and I mean, they helped finance Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Well, Judy Moody is definitely a relativity distributor.
Yep. It's coming out in 2,000 theaters this weekend.
Yep. Just in case people don't know what this one's about, this one's very much a tween book adaptation off the Megan McDonald book of a similar name. I don't know if it's the same, but the real star in the film is Heather Graham, who might have some potential MILF action going on in that, but. It's definitely a kiddie-friendly movie, and
well, I believe that Heather Graham's playing the single Aunt Opal. So one interesting thing about this is that John Schultz is directing it. He's directing it for Smokewood Entertainment, which also produced Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Interesting.
One of the worst titles for a movie that I've ever heard in my entire life.
That is a ridiculous title. Between that and the Four Colored Girls and whatever else was, I don't even remember.
Well, that was the play. That wasn't the movie. The movie was just Four Colored Girls. But yeah, the play had a very long title.
I think the movie did too.
It was just Four Colored Girls. And then the play was something like Four Colored Girls Who the Rainbow Is Not Enough or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So Tim, how you feeling about Judy Moody? Is it going to come out strong? Is it going to bring it?
Well, you know, I kind of worry about it just from the simple fact that Kung Fu Panda has only been out. This is week 3 for Kung Fu Panda, and you know, I don't have kids, but I'm my guess is if I threw out, do you want to go see the movie about a panda that you've already watched, or do you want to see this other thing? I think people are going to want to go to Kung Fu Panda more. I mean, yeah, it's been out a couple weeks, but I'm thinking it's probably going to do enough damage to not make this movie hurt too bad. And 2,000 theaters is a decent number, but it's not anything major either.
Right.
Yeah, it's not huge. So. Well, I wonder, because my child is not quite old enough to be into this book series, but I wonder how popular Judy Moody is.
I know it's at least popular enough that Holden has heard of it. He may even have one of the books, but I mean, I even saw that, like, because now that I have the Nook, I follow what Barnes & Noble does because they occasionally have books on the cheap for the Nook. And yeah. And just a couple of weeks ago, they were doing this book on the Nook for 99 cents. So it seems to at least have some legs under it as far as the book series goes. But mm-hmm. I wonder if that's really going to be enough to get people to the theaters. Plus, a movie about a young girl versus a movie about a panda. I think you're talking different audiences.
Perhaps boys versus girls.
Yeah, I really think you've got a very definite guy movie, chick flick for the, you know, 8-year-old set, as it were.
Well, you know, this makes me think of the only thing I could compare this to recently was Diary of a Wimpy Kid, right. Roderick Rules.
But that's a sequel, so that's not even a great comparison.
Well, I just to throw it out there for our listeners who may be trying to make their picks, Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2 opened not that long ago at $23.7 million in 3,167 theaters. Yeah. So something to think about.
And how many screens is Judy Moody on?
2,000?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep, that's what Box Office Mojo says.
Right.
Oh, one other thing. You know, actually, I just realized this is probably a bad time to say it, but just so we don't forget, besides Super 8, which is also debuting, Midnight in Paris is expanding to 900 and some theaters.
Oh, it's up to 900 now?
It was 944 earlier tonight.
Because earlier, I mean, when I did...
on Monday, it was like 700
plus. It was like 750 plus when I recorded the results show for 37. I even made mention of that because it was like, I didn't want it to really come out and surprise anybody. If for some reason it got crazy bank and just kind of appeared out of nowhere, I did mention it, but I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to hold that much faith in it once I did my maths.
No, if you pick Midnight in Paris, I'll be happy to leap you on the leaderboard. That's what I'm going to say
about that. Well, I'm just going to put out a couple of numbers. I'm not trying to convince you guys of anything because I know I can't do that. This past weekend, Midnight in Paris was in 147 theaters. It brought in an average take of 18,843 per theater for a total of 2.7 million. It's going to jump from 147 to 900 and some. So it's going to add basically 800 theaters this coming weekend.
And that's fine, but you have to figure that
it's only going to need like 7 million to break in the top five.
And I can't see. All right, so it's going to take a lot of people just like crawling out of the woodwork to come see this movie. Granted, it's a Woody Allen picture, which is why it's getting it's got some legs under it. But to compare it, you know, and on 150 theaters spread across the country, most likely at like the art house places, the people that are going to seek it out have gone to see it or seeing it during the week. I mean, this movie is actually making pretty decent money for the number of screens it's on. But once it expands, it's just going to water down the audience. It's not like there are people waiting in line for days to go see this movie.
You know, you could have said the same thing about a movie that came out in very small release called King's Speech. That's what it was. Or The Fighter, Black Swan.
That's true, but the difference is that it's not going against those movies. Never went against blockbuster movies that are coming out one a week.
Don't you think they appeal to completely different audiences?
I absolutely do, but they appeal to a much smaller audience. Mm. I mean, using that logic, it's almost like saying that comic book movies are never going to do anything because there's only 100,000 people who read comics. Well, that's not the only audience for them. And I'm making a reverse argument here. I realize that. But blockbusters aren't released on limited number of screens just so they can get a ridiculous number of just the ridiculous ratio of dollars per theater that movies like this are going to get. Once you spread it out, it's just going to get watered down. In its first week of release, it expanded from like 50 screens to 150 screens, more or less.
Yeah.
But only increased in profits by 45%.
It tripled. More or less, but it was also the second weekend out. I mean,
right.
Three weeks. It's about 3 weeks.
And now it's the fourth week out. And granted, it's expanding. It's going to be in more theaters. It's going to be in more venues for people to see it. But it's not like there's going to be a 1-to-1 ratio of.
Oh, no.
It's, you know, it's now in, six times the number of theaters, so it's going to do six times better. Well, it's in six times the number of theaters. It's probably going to do three times better at most.
Well, what's the number in your head that you're thinking it's going to pull best case scenario, Andrew?
Oh, shoot. I hadn't really thought that far. I actually don't have it in my top five, but I would love this. If it showed up number five, I would not be surprised, but I don't have it in my top five, but I could see it bringing in.
I'll tell you
when it could bring in 7 million.
You know what? I'll tell you right now. I did my numbers. I did my maths, and I did it based on it expanding to 750 screens, because at the time that's what I thought it was doing.
Sure.
I said absolute best case scenario, and I still believe this is probably an absolute best case scenario, is it's going to pull in 10 million. And I think that's
more than I expected to.
I think realistically it's going to pull in closer to 7 or 8.
Yeah. I'm totally thinking 7.
And but. I think Judy Moody is going to pull in 10, at least.
And yeah, it's probably
going to be really close to 10. I don't think it's going to go much higher than that. But I think hands down Judy Moody beats it. And you know, since we've started going down this path, I've got my picks already lined out.
Well, should we talk about Super 8 real quick here?
Yeah, let's talk about it real quick.
Well, it's a movie about a hotel.
Yes.
A motel chain, Tim.
Right. Every time I say that, Andrew, like, breaks a tooth. He's like,
smart. The first time he ever heard Tim say that, I was like, are you joking? And he replied back, no. Oh, my God. Anyway,
so Super 8. Of course, this refers to a stock of film.
Oh, I think he really knew that. I think
that you use when you're having an afternoon quickie at a Super 8 motel.
Okay.
Nice.
Oh, I'll go see that. That's why they call it Super 8, is because they use it at the Super 8 at the yes. Motel. Okay. Yes. I got it.
Yes.
Andrew, we saved you 5 minutes of exposition about this movie. Oh,
it's about cheap no-tell motel porn that's rented out on an hour-by-hour basis.
Or maybe it's a sci-fi film set in 1979, written and directed by J.J. Abrams. Maybe.
Maybe.
And maybe it's opening in 3,200 theaters.
I choose to believe it is the former, because I think that would make a more interesting Oscar-worthy film.
And maybe it's trading at $100 per share on HSX.
That has fallen sharply in the past month or two.
It's up $6 today, but
it's up $6 today, but it has fallen sharp in the last couple of months.
I blame speculators.
Plus, well, one of the things that does concern me about this movie is. They did this big announcement today where they're like, hey, we're going to do this special deal and we're going to release it a day early. And it's a big deal. You can go see it a day early. And it's not like they're giving these away.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah. They're just releasing it a day early. It's not that big of a deal. But they're also giving away popcorn. Like most theater chains that it's going to be at, they're giving away popcorn and posters the first day, and it's like, wow, are you really that desperate to get people to come out and see the movie?
Whoa, no, wait. You could save me $10 that I would spend on popcorn?
No, because they're just going to give you like a cup of popcorn. It's just the first. It's just the first hit. Come on.
It's five kernels.
Yes, we've talked about free. This. The first hit's always free. You went to pimp school. Come on.
Yeah. All right. So those are our new three. I think Tony is chomping at the bit to spill his knowledge and insight upon us about how he thinks things are going to work out this week.
Yeah.
So spew away.
For me, it's pretty straightforward. I think Super 8 is going to do well. Having J.J. Abrams and Steven Spielberg J.J. Abrams is basically jerking off Steven Spielberg to make this movie, considering it's got like every Steven Spielberg trope built into it. It's about a government conspiracy or a conspiracy in general. And there's a group of kids who get involved, and there's family conflict amongst the kid and the parental figure. And there's something that we're not going to really expose to you, which kind of, you know, goes back to the Cloverfield J.J. Abrams thing. But it also just smacks of E.T. It's...
Well, Tony, if you had read a comic book, I believe 2 weeks ago, you would know exactly what this movie's about, because they spoiled the kind of the hell out of it.
If I would have heard Funny Books spoiling this, I would have heard about that also.
This is also true.
I can't imagine this movie's not going to do well.
It's going to do well enough.
It's going to be number one.
Yeah.
I feel very confident saying that. X-Men, I think, still has enough pull that it's going to hold on to number two. I am going to flip-flop three and four. I think Kung Fu Panda is going to hold on to more of its audience than The Hangover is going to lose. Because I honestly have a feeling that Kung Fu Panda is not going to bleed as much of its audience this week as it did last week. And I think... Hangover 2 is going to continue to drop like a rock, which it did last week, and I have a feeling it's just going to continue that fall. And then the fifth place, I'm going to give it to Judy Moody.
You missed fourth place, boss.
I thought I said that The Hangover was going to be in fourth. I guess I didn't specifically say that.
I'm off of my count. I'm sorry.
Right. I didn't specifically say that, but
no, you're right. I got off.
Clarity, Super 8 at number 1, X-Men at number 2, Kung Fu Panda 2 at number 3, Hangover 2 at number 4, Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer at number 5. That's my picks.
All right.
You know what? Let's play Jonathan's voicemail right here that he hasn't sent yet.
Okay, let's do that now.
Now.
Hi, I'm Jonathan. I'm just calling in from Herbal Derbal.
It's like we have a hive mind.
I'm going to pick...
Let me take all these things and throw them up in the air and see which ones I grab.
My maths tell me that Midnight in Paris is going to be number one.
No, let's do that. I want to bypass him this week. Let's do that. Those are his picks.
Just that one.
Just that one.
2 through 5, push.
It's all on black. Everything's on Midnight in Paris.
All right.
Let it ride.
Let's give him an actual chance to put it in here, though.
Hey, guys. It's John. I'm calling from East Texas again. Tried to connect with you guys last night. I'm sure that will be talked about in the show, but whatever. PC issues got in the way. One computer wouldn't recognize my microphone. One computer wouldn't recognize its cables. And the other computer I couldn't even plug into. Anyway, I wanted to congratulate all of us and, you know, practically every listener we have on scoring a 25 last week. I'm sorry that I couldn't have been there for the great 75-point celebration. For this week, I'm placing Super 8 at number 1. I think it's got the juice to pull in a number 1 spot. Judy Moody, the other new movie this week, I think it's got to pull $10 million just to make the top 10. And I think that it's opening in 2,000 theaters. I think if it was going to make $5,000 a theater to pull $10 million, I think they'd be opening it in more theaters. So I'm pretty much just going to run the list straight down from there. I believe it would be that would make it Super 8 number 1, X-Men number 2. I guess hoping I remember these right. What's that movie that came out? Crap. Anyway, you know, whatever last week's 1 through 4 was, make it 2 through 5. I'll send a tweet or something. mostly just because even if Judy Moody does enter the top 10, it's not going to hurt me as much as if I put it in the top 10 and it comes in like number 17 again. Anyway, I will talk to you guys next week. I will be back in town, back in the land of working computers and normal accents. So I tried to keep it suppressed while I was on the phone with you. See you then.
Thank you, Jonathan, for that voicemail that we haven't received yet.
It was so insightful. It changed my life.
Well, I don't feel quite... Well, anyway, here are my picks. I'm going to be quite similar to Tony, except in one key better way.
Oh.
I put Super 8 number 1, just like Tony. Same reason. Mm. I have X-Men number 2. X-Men First Class at number 2. At number 3, I'm keeping The Hangover Part 2. Because, you know, let's say Tony's right. Let's say The Hangover hemorrhages 60% again. That's going to put it right around, 10 million. Let's say Kung Fu Panda drops 50% again. Oh, that's going to put it right around 11 million. So I think those are close enough that I'm going to be contentious, contrary. And so I'm going to leave Hangover on top of Kung Fu. So Kung Fu I'm going to put at number 4. And then, Pirates had 17 million. Judy Moody. I'm going to keep Judy Moody number 5. Tim, what you got?
Well, I've got Super 8 at number 1. I've got X-Men First Class at number 2. I'm going to agree with Andrew, and I'm going to ride The Hangover 2 so it can bite me in the butt another week in a row. So we're gonna continue the trend. I got Kung Fu Panda coming in at 4th, and I have faith in Johnny Depp that he can beat a little girl.
So beat her like a drum.
Beat her like she has rum. And so I got Pirates on 5th.
Very good. I like that. I like that.
That's fair.
Midnight in Paris, which is even more impressive.
Pirates, Judy Moody, and Midnight in Paris. I have a feeling that those three could be really close at the end of the weekend.
I agree with that.
That I'm thinking like 1 to 2 million separating the three.
Yeah, I think unlike the last couple weeks, I think the top part is pretty straightforward, whereas the bottom couple are much more of a guessing game, which is kind of the opposite of the last couple weeks.
Yeah, right.
The last couple weeks, 3 through 5 have seemed fairly obvious, where we've just had a little bit of question about what's going to come in 1 and 2.
Well, and realistically, Midnight in Paris wasn't really a player until the past week or so. I mean, it was just this little movie that was kind of off on the side doing well for itself. I mean, yeah, it grabbed 7th and 8th place over the last couple of weeks, but the movies that it was beating were movies that had been out of release for a while and were on the way out.
Yeah, and it's got. I mean, to be honest, it's Midnight in Paris has gotten a lot of buzz. I mean, I listen the media I pay attention to. There's been a lot of talk about it.
Old lady media.
I was say NPR media.
The knitting
yeah.
station.
The hair media.
The knitting
blue hair
station.
Media.
Well, NPR. Yeah, so yeah.
Oh, it's come
same
on.
Thing.
Come on.
You can wake me when that movie gets to 1,500 theaters. Until then, I can't consider it a player.
I didn't put it in my top 5 either, so I think it is going to be tight, though.
It's a Woody Allen picture, and they're...
Owen Wilson, Rachel McAdams.
It's a Woody Allen picture.
Ernest Hemingway.
I doubt Ernest Hemingway is in that movie.
No, I mean, there's an actor playing Ernest Hemingway in the movie.
Wow.
Not actually Ernest Hemingway in the movie.
Zombie Ernest Hemingway. Wait.
Brains.
I might have to go to this movie.
I mean, the bell tolls for your brains.
It's the old man in the sea. He's got the dead fish in the boat next to him. Oh, this is sounding like a better movie.
Hey, man, the way Zombie Jane Eyre are... No, it was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And was it Jane Eyre Vampire? I don't remember. The way that whole set of odd fiction, historical fiction, has kind of cropped up, that this could actually be a very good movie. Zombie Old Man in the Sea. I think you should write that.
I'm on it. I think there's some copyright issues.
I'll write that as soon as I'm done with the script for Matilda the Professional.
Ooh, yeah, that would be good.
We talked about that last week. The episode dropped on Monday.
When we talked about Leon.
Yeah, we speculated and actually gave a reasonable plot synopsis for a potential Matilda the Professional movie. Like how it could work, how it could play out, what the plot would be, and what the ultimate resolution of the character of Matilda would be. It's fantastic.
And you just put that all out there for free on the internet, huh?
We're bold that way. But we know a really good copyright attorney, too. So technically, our words are copyrighted.
That's true. I mean, there's your evidence, right? There's your proof that you thought of it.
If nothing else, the Backseat Producer family of podcasts, the Backseat family of podcasts, I should say, is lawyer heavy.
That's true.
There's a lot of lawyers in the backseat.
This is true.
Right.
This is very true.
And I think I probably should hit this earlier, but just to throw this out, X-Men First Class. You know, X3 pissed me off. X-Men Origins Wolverine sent me into a Red Lantern rage. But I gotta tell you, man, X-Men First Class, it's worth seeing.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm gonna hopefully make some time for it sometime really soon.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's going to surprise you, Tony.
I've probably been spoiled on whatever it is.
No.
Between you jackholes spoiling stuff on it in funny books.
No, like, I'm just going to
tell you. Herbal, here's one spoiler. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, and by the way, then you see this person. Then this person is this person. It's like, gee, thanks, Aaron. God damn it.
I'm just saying, James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender are magnificent together. The two of them are worth going to see. That's the reason to go see the movie right there. The two of them playing off each other.
That's cool.
The worst part of the movie, January Jones.
Really?
She's wooden.
Mm.
That may have been how she was directed, but her performance in that movie is wooden.
Yeah, see, the Emma Frost that I was weaned on in comic books is not the Emma Frost that is in comic books today.
They're different, but neither of them are the Emma Frost she was playing on the movie, though.
I haven't seen the movie, so I can't say. But the Emma Frost that I knew was kind of cold and distant, and I mean, that's just kind of how she was. But which I believe is kind of what you described.
No, it's even more than that. It's not like she's detached from, you know, emotional attachments.
She's like the captain in the first season of Babylon 5, wooden and terrible.
No, she's like the director looked at her and said, "All right, pretend, you know, your character can turn into living diamond. Pretend you are nothing but a living diamond, even when you're in your regular form."
Nice.
I mean, she's just that. I mean, it's even beyond just being, you know, kind of a psychopathic crazy lady. It's,
and by the way, since when did that become one of her powers? Because I don't remember that being one of her powers originally.
About 5 years? No, it wasn't. It was about 5 years ago, I'd say.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, they now make that one of her powers back in the '60s.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Retcon, well, man.
I want you to know, Tony, I did my part. I didn't go watch that movie so I could spoil it for you.
All right.
I can't speak
you,
for
Tim.
Everybody else.
Thank you. No, it's Andrew.
And Aaron.
No, I'm sorry. I meant to say Aaron. For some reason, Andrew popped out of my mouth. It's probably because I do blame you for a lot of things.
I was going to say, I think we all know why it popped out of your mouth.
That's plan A on both podcasts, so I understand.
I am the drag chute.
Yeah, we determined that quite some time ago. I'm the... What was I?
Oh,
Jonathan's... You're the drag chute. Jonathan's the talent.
Jonathan's Kelsey Grammer. You're Niles. I'm apparently Roz.
I was going to say you're Eddie.
And the dog.
Yeah. Kind of fun to come to a still shot every now and then.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Oh, look. He's not licking his balls.
Quick, camera on him. Camera on him now.
And then
pretend you're a living diamond. Oh, right there.
Wait. He's licking his balls. Pan over to him. Oh, he's just looking guilty now.
But Tony, I think you will enjoy Rose Byrne's performance.
Stop.
I think you will.
You will. The key phrase there is you will enjoy Rose Byrne. Period.
No, that's true.
That's enough.
I was like, man, why couldn't she be the White Queen?
Oh, man. She could be the Black Queen. She could be Selena. I would be down for that.
Anyway, we should probably get out of here. It's
maybe. Yep.
Rose from Golden Girls, but
that, oof.
Yeah, probably not.
Hey, you know
I was
what?
Always more of a, I was always more of a Blanche man.
Yeah, I was gonna peg you for Blanche.
if Rose Byrne gets cast in a new version of Golden Girls, that would have a different take on Golden Girls completely, and I would be down for that.
All right, it's Thursday. We need to get out of here.
Yep. All right, guys. See you next week. Thank you, Tim, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
See ya.